It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, August 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. We've been talking Apple news this week. The company has a big event on September 9th, and a new iPhone is expected. There are also predictions about the company's first wearable device. But one thing the rumor mongers agree on is that the iPad may be about to grow a few inches. Bigger seems to be a trend in phones, sure. But why might Apple be stretching out its tablets? Marketplace's Annie Baxter takes a look.
Apple's iPads have been losing market share to cheaper, smaller smartphones, according to the research firm International Data Corporation, or IDC. Jitesh Ubrani, an analyst at IDC, says it might be time for the iPad to reach for new heights.
Launching a bigger iPad would help them gain a lot more revenue.
Ubrani says businesses, schools, and government offices increasingly use tablets and might like a bigger iPad screen. In the second quarter, 16% of tablet sales went to those groups. Van Baker is research vice president at Gartner Incorporated. He notes that Apple recently announced a partnership with IBM to offer businesses more apps and services. Baker says a bigger iPad might be good for companies that want to put stuff like spreadsheets on the device.
Things more on the content creation side than on the content consumption side make sense to have a bigger screen.
Apple couldn't be reached for comment. A bigger iPad would theoretically compete with Microsoft's biggest Surface tablet, but analysts say the Windows system has not been popular on tablets. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
We'll keep you posted as we learn more about that hardware. In the world of software, Instagram released a new app this week called Hyperlapse, and it looks kind of awesome. Hyperlapse uses a video stabilization algorithm to essentially create time-lapse videos, putting a bunch of still images together to get a smooth-looking video, even if the shot is shaky. Right about this time, some number of years ago, I was getting ready to meet my college freshman roommate. And I don't know how we landed in the same spot, but it wasn't exactly a match made in heaven. Needless to say, I'm not down with drinking grain alcohol out of trash cans. And as freshmen are heading to start their freshman year, now comes the dreaded matching process. At the UMass campus in Lowell, Massachusetts, administrators are now using software for this. Here to tell us how that is going is Matt Austin, Associate Director of Residence Life at UMass Lowell. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. Can you talk to me a little bit about this kind of roommate matching software and how it works?
The application that we use actually asks students a variety of questions, ranging from, are you a smoker, to how important is it to have visitors in your room past 10 o'clock at night? Based on your answers, you can filter. So if you're looking for somebody with your major, you can filter them that way as well, or if they're interested in a specific living learning community.
So the students themselves manipulate the software and apply the filters so that they can view the possible other roommates and then select them for matching?
Yep, and it also allows them to communicate right within their Facebook account, and then should they decide that they want to live together, send a roommate request just as you would send a friend request, and the person on the other end can confirm it.
So I'll admit to you, my freshman year roommate did not work out, and we had to part ways, and I had to find a new roommate. I don't know if my college was using roommate matching software, but what's the success rate here?
Based on our current data, students that don't use it at all, they'll request a new roommate about 8% of the time. And then students that do find a match, they've only requested room changes 1% of the time.
How much does that matter to you as an institution, whether or not people switch rooms halfway through the year? I mean, is that really a big deal?
Our data shows that students that continue with the same roommate through the whole freshman year are more likely to return to housing their sophomore year, which keeps them more engaged on campus. There's other statistics that will show that students that live on campus are more likely to have higher grades and be more involved on campus. So those are the things we really want to cultivate here. Any software or any technology that we can use to leverage that is going to be a big gain for us.
I suppose in some ways having a roommate who's actually quite different than you can be valuable, right? They have a different perspective on life, different experiences. Do you worry that this software is minimizing the possibilities of that sort of thing?
Sure, I completely agree that that piece of education is huge in a community, and you and I as roommates might be living together, and we might maybe have a similar background. However, the people that live on our floor probably are not just like us. There's people from all over the United States, all over the world that you're going to be able to learn from as part of the community, and that doesn't just stop at your bedroom door.
Matt Austin is the Associate Director of Residence Life at the University of Massachusetts Lowell. Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben. Have a great day.
You may have heard about or experienced Time Warner Cable's massive internet outage early yesterday morning. The outage impacted some 11 million customers around the country. Reuters is now reporting that the company thinks human error is to blame. The timing of the outage isn't great for Time Warner Cable. It comes as the company is trying to get regulators to okay a $45 billion merger with Comcast. And before we go today, a musician and DJ named Matthew Deer made this track called Drop Science out of the sounds of machines made by General Electric. MRI scanners, equipment that measures light traveling over fiber optic cables, and more. What's interesting to note about this project is that sometimes engineers listen to machines to tell how they're doing and whether repairs are needed. Wrong or right, the notes that make up this tune are pretty great. It's a nice reminder that music is everywhere. My personal favorites in New York are the ones on the subway. That familiar ooh-wee-ooh as the train leaves the station, or that simple and great noise that comes after "Stand clear of the closing doors, please." You can find the song from GE Machines at facebook.com/marketplacetechreport. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.